If you would turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll start there in verse 13, and we'll read to verse 16. The Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all things done be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church, Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for this work that was started here in this valley. Lord, I pray that you would just do your will here. Lord, that you would grow up a wonderful church, and you already have started that, and I can see that. Lord, thank you for Brother Tim, and thank you for all these faithful folks. And Lord, just help us all to realize why we're here on this earth. Help us all to addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints. Lord, just pray that you would help me as I preach today. Lord, help it to be from your mouth, not mine. From your words, not mine. And Lord, let me just be the conduit or the tool that I need to be and to do your will. Just pray you'd bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I tell you, you never get over getting nervous, especially when you stand in somebody else's pulpit. You want to make sure that you do a good job. Amen. If you look in the Webster's Dictionary, and I've been doing this quite a bit often in the Webster's 1828 Dictionary, I love to use the old English Dictionary because for some reason they've changed things. They don't want to use the truth. And if you look there and you look under addict, it is a verb, it's transitive. It is derived from Latin addico, to devote or add or deco, to dedicate. To apply oneself habitually, to devote time and attention by customary or constant practice, sometimes in a good sense. The Bible says, as we've said right here in 1 Corinthians 16, 15, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That is a good sense. More usually in a bad sense, to follow customarily or devote by habitually practicing that which is ill, as a man is addicted to intemperance. To addict oneself to a person, a sense, borrowed from the Romans, who used the word for assigning debtors in service to their creditors, is found in Ben Jonson, but is not legitimate in English. And then if we go to the word addicted, which I have titled my sermon, it's a participle passive, and it means devoted by customary practice. We live in a time and age when it seems as if living a life for Christ or submitting our lives to Christ is not the end thing to do. As we look around us, we see our neighbors and our friends, yes, even some of our family, going about their life. There is no thought of Christ or living for Him. And for the most part, the lives that we see in them is an addiction to some sort or another of some kind of pastime. As we watch this, believe you me, I know this well. For myself, I've struggled with this very addiction. For some, it's sports. There's golf, there's football, there's basketball, there's baseball. You name it. If there's any time off from a daily routine for providing for the family, it's off to one of these pastimes. And don't get me wrong. There is a right place. They are not all a bad thing. But as we look around at churches, we start to wonder, whatever happened to Sunday? Whatever happened to Sunday? It used to be almost everyone that was a Christian used to set aside Sunday to honor the Lord some 30 years ago. I was just telling Brother Robbie that this morning. I remember when I would come to the Estancia Valley and I would stay with my grandma and grandpa, my granddad and my nanny, as I know the kids call Miss Terry Nanny, my granddad and nanny there in Estancia, we would go to church. If there was Sunday, you went to church. If they were down at TRC living in their lake house or the place that they had down at TRC, when Sunday come around, you went to church. They had a church they went to and they were faithful and went to church. It was a very, very important part of their life. And for as a young man, I'm going to give you my testimony. I was raised in a home that mom and dad didn't go to church. Mom and dad got hurt in church well before my sister and I were born. And they quit going. And had it not been for my mom watching Billy Graham in Wilcox, Arizona, where the farm was, I still remember sitting in my room and looking all the way down the hallway. And I don't know why I wasn't working. It must have been later night or early in the morning or something. And I seen Billy Graham preaching. And I heard the gospel. And I realized I was lost. And I realized that I needed a Savior. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But still, I did not go to church. Mom and Dad didn't go to church. It wasn't until we moved back to the farm in Estancia, we sold the farm in Wilcox, and moved back, that I started regularly going to church with my grandma and grandpa. And God was able to get a hold of my heart and change my life. See, baptism is important, and I didn't even write this down, but the Lord wants me to say this. Baptism is a very important part of a Christian life. It has nothing to do with salvation. You see, I was born again when I was 11, and this was 21 years old. I was 21 years old when I started going to church with grandma and grandpa regularly. And I realized that I had not trusted and I had not made a step of obedience. And you think about it, if any of you here have children, children to walk have to make a step. They can get out and they can walk around by the end tables, by the chairs. As long as they got a hold of something, they'll walk around. But sooner or later, they have got to let go and take a step of faith and start walking on their own. Well, see, when a person gets born again, saved, that's good. And that's all there has to happen for that person to go to heaven. But to walk a victorious life or to walk a obedient life for Christ, they must take a step of obedience. And the first step of obedience for a Christian is baptism. And that was scary for me at 21 years old. And I went forward and I got baptized at the First Baptist Church in Estancia, New Mexico, and I seen your baptistry here. You're going to put a heater in it, right, Brother Tim? No. Because that baptistry tank was two stories up, and it was concrete, and there was no heater. And I believe it was around November that I got baptized. November the 11th, I believe, back in 91 or 92. And I remember how cold it was. It was cold. So get a heater. And they never work. They always the devil always messes with the heater. But amen, I got baptized. And after I got baptized, man, it was like starting to walk again. And the Lord just started opening things. And I wasn't long after that that I submitted my life and surrendered to be a preacher, to preach the Word of God. Went to Hiles Anderson for a couple of years and realized that's not where the Lord wanted me and brought me out of that. There was a lot of things that went on at Hiles Anderson at that time. It was a mess. And God got me out of there, but God was good to me. And started going to church under Brother Harold and Brother Tim. So a lot of my preaching is under, from being under Brother Tim and Brother Harold. God used them to clean me up, to straighten me out. And when Brother Harold started having some health issues, the Lord really nailed me with it. Well, it was him and it was Brother Robbie. I still remember crying. Brother Robbie was down and we were helping Brother Harold. Brother Matt and I were going daily. And then Brother Robbie came down to help us out. And God was dealing with me about surrendering. And Brother Robbie, I was at bar two working on a concrete truck. I was under the dash and Brother Robbie called me. And he was asking me some things about Pastor. And he said, "You know what, Cale? I'd been preaching for Brother Harold because that was the only thing to do. There wasn't nobody else to do it." And the Lord really nailed me that day. And Brother Robbie said, "You know, Cale, God could use you if you let him." And I started crying. I said, "Brother Robbie, he's been telling me to do it, but I don't want to." But God allowed that. God did that. So if you're struggling to surrender to do something that God wants you to do, don't be scared. Just do it. He'll help you through it. And that's the same with if there is a step you haven't made for Jesus, make it. Just, you know what? We all fall down. No baby that starts walking doesn't fall down a few times. Some of us can't even walk, huh, Brother Tim? Some of us can't even walk. Now, if you go on a Sunday morning, or I mean, as I was talking about, that we went with Grandma and Grandpa to church. Church was very important to them. There was no questions asked about it. You just went. And you were going to go to church regardless this side of a natural disaster. It didn't matter. You went to church. It didn't matter if you were sick. You went to church. It didn't matter if the tree fell over the road. You cut the tree, dragged the tree out of the way. You went to church because church was important. But now you go out on a Sunday morning and it's as business as usual. Either they're working or they're at some type of play. And you know what? Believe you me, they're at some type of play. Where I live, it's all about play. I live down there by the lake, and I love to work on the boats, but let me tell you something, it's all about play. Boats, jet skis, side-by-sides. And I'm not talking old toys down there. You know, we think about this. I'm talking about brand new $250,000 boats to $40,000. You'll see it. That, man, Brother Robbie, you drive by that lake where the entrance is, and it is backed out around the road, even with the lake as low as it is. And we wonder, and we were asking this morning, these fine young ladies that were in the class with Brother Robbie, what's happening with this country? What's happening? Why is our country in such a predicament? Why are these things happening? Could it be that we have forgotten to whom this life, each one of you, this life, could we have forgotten what it was designed for? We are here in this life for a reason. And yes, there is time for play. And yes, there is time for enjoyment. But we're here for God and for a purpose. So here is what the Bible says, how to balance our life and for what we should be addicted. So number one, make sure God is your number one priority. Make sure you make God everything, that He is your number one priority. To do this, we must be born again. John 3:3 tells us this, as Jesus told Nicodemus. That is somebody who was religious, somebody who was a Pharisee. He said, "I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, this relationship must be personal. It must be between you and Jesus. This is something that the Lord has really been dealing with me in my ministry up there. And as Brother Robbie has, has talked about, TRC is a tough place. There's some rough things that go on in TRC. But I want people to understand that it cannot be Jesus plus anything or minus anything. It's just you and the gospel of Christ. So make sure of your salvation. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want to pose you with something. I want you to think about this. Salvation is free will. It's not forced. You think about the garden, and you think about God and creating Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve only knew God. They didn't know any different. And to God, that was not love that He wanted. He wanted reciprocated love. He wanted them to love Him because they wanted to love Him, not because they had to love Him. So He allowed sin in the garden so they could make a choice. Now, I'm married to that wonderful woman back there, Jolene. For 26 years, we've been married. 7 wonderful kids. But if I found out that Jolene was with me because Jolene had to be with me and she thought she had to fulfill something, that would break my heart. And that's what I thought about this. That's what God felt. He wanted Adam and Eve and anyone else that comes in this world, He wants them to do it because they want to. He wants them to love Him because He loved them first. And He wants that relationship to be personal between them and Him. So it's very important that we must make sure that your salvation isn't because somebody else. And I'd say this because I come from churches like Bella Vista. I come from churches like Hammond, Indiana, where I watched people work, do all those things that they were supposed to do. And you know what? They thought that was their salvation. We're not supposed to be working because that's what saves us. We're supposed to be working because we're saved. We're supposed to be addicted to Jesus Christ because, and His ministry, because of Him, because we love Him. I want to do things for Jolene because I love her, not because I have to. And I want her to do the same thing for me. So the next admonishment is start with your family. As you're trying to grow this community and you're trying to get people to come to church, I'm telling you the number one place, if you want people to come to church, start with your family. See, your first responsibility after salvation is to your family. You minister to them first. Your wife or vice versa, the husband first. They are first priority after Christ. Ephesians 5:24 tells us this. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And then your children, they are your first priority. Here's a little lesson I've learned the hard way. If we would learn to so please God, we would have no problem pleasing others. Proverbs 16:7. Think about this. You want to make somebody do something? Think about this. Do you want to make somebody be at peace with you? This is a wonderful verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. You can count on that. Wait a minute. He makes your enemies be at peace with Him. You want people to come to church? You please God. You please God with all your heart, with all your soul, and you please Him. And it says He will make even your enemies be at peace with you. I want you to think about this and turn with me in your Bible to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. I hope I didn't lose it myself here. John, chapter 21. I think I did. I pulled it out. I had Brother Tim's check in here. We're so frugal. We brought Brother Tim's check. We didn't want to put the stamp on it. We sent it with me. John chapter 21 and verse 20 through 22. And I want you to think about this because I've learned this from Bible college, and I've learned this from going to Bella Vista, and I've learned this from some Christians. I want you to think about this because it's very important to reaching other folks in our community. It's something that I've been trying. Brother Robbie said something about the Sons of Thunder this morning. He said something about the Bar 2 brothers. I worked for Jared and Jason Bar 2, Howard Bar 2's boys, and they're concrete. They have a concrete company, concrete trucks, and they're big boys. Jared's about 6'6", 260 pounds. Jason's about 6'8". He's not as heavy. He's about 200 pounds. And then Howard's about 7 foot tall. He's big old man. Sweet guys. But you know what? I'm learning something. And they come and ask me questions all the time. They're coming close, Brother Robbie. They're getting close. And especially with William working with them there. They're starting to see something. But the one thing, if you want people, and I'm not preaching that it's just lifestyle evangelism. I'm not going to preach that. You need to be out and knocking on doors and trying to tell people about Jesus. But let me tell you what. It says in the Bible, let your light so shine before men so that they may what? Hear? Does it say hear? No, it says see. See your good works and glorify heaven or glorify your Father in heaven. Let me tell you what. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And if you're like me, your talk don't talk too well. So make sure your walk talks louder than your talk talks, as our Pastor Harold used to tell us. John chapter 21, verse 20 through 22. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple in whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him and saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, I will that he tarry. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. The reason I put this here, and I want you to think about this, is you see, Peter, the Apostle Peter, was more worried about John and his walk with the Lord than what Peter was. What we have to be careful with as Christians is we need to deal with us and God. And sometimes the problem is when we have the spotlight on us and when God is trying to nail us on something that we're doing, you know what we do? But God, look at him. And you know, Brother Robbie brought this up in Sunday school. I used to work the bus routes in Hiles Anderson. And I guess I got a little bit of time. I don't want to take too long of your time. But I tell you what, when you go into Gary, Indiana, and you get a busload of kids, we would have 75 kids on that bus. And they're all wonderful little kids in there. But they're from the Section 8 housing in Indiana. In Gary. It's rough. And one of my favorite stories is we're all along and going along through there. And I got my wife and my four kids in there. I think there's four just then. We hadn't had the fifth one yet. Am I wrong? Five? Okay, five. Okay. I can't remember to save my life. Anyways, we're going along and it had rained. And from Gary, Indiana to Hammond was about a 35-mile drive. And so it rained real hard. And if you know me, I'm a mechanic. And so the only bus that I would get if I wanted a bus was one that was old. So I'd pick the oldest bus on the lot. So I got this old 1980 international bus, and we're tooling along down the road, and I hit a puddle. And that thing starts to stall out, and then all of a sudden, ka-pow! And I look back, and all I see is my wife and my five kids. Every one of those kids are under the seat, because they thought a gun went off. But anyways, the reason I bring up the bus kids is if you want to find out who's done something wrong, you just ask the question, who did it on a bus? And I want you to apply this to your life. You say, who did that? The first one to say, I didn't do it. It wasn't me, Brother Thomas. That was the guy who did it, because that's exactly how we are. We tell God immediately when we've done something wrong. Hey, I didn't do it. He did. Do you see him? Do you see what he's doing? And what I'm trying to say, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is that me, Brother Thomas? Did I did I blow the power of my loud voice? Is we, when we get convicted, when we're living our lives, when the Lord is dealing with us, we always try to put it off on someone else. Realize that each and every person that lives on this earth has to make the same choice for Christ that you did. They have to make that same choice with Jesus. And listen, it has to be personal for them. Yes, we can lead them. Yes, we can knock on the door. Yes, we can tell them about Jesus Christ. But we cannot force them into it. They must do it because they want to. Because is it love if we force them into it? It's not. I think about all the doors I knocked on when I was at Hiles Anderson, and they had rules. You had to fill out sheets how many people you led to Christ. And we would lead people to Christ, and I've prayed, Lord, please let it be that they aren't, that I haven't been a stumbling block to them. Because they just prayed a prayer. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And it wasn't between them and Jesus, it was between me and them. And how many people, I pray, have not died and gone to hell because I was so zealous trying to fill out a piece of paper. And I was like Peter, well, look at them, Lord. You know, look at me, Cale. Look at you. Look at you. So remember that. You must keep your eyes on Jesus and let Jesus keep his eyes on you. And remember, he's dealing with them just like he's dealing with you. You see, we must addict ourselves to the ministry. We must make serving God our main focus after our family. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You give your family, your friends, your neighbors this one testimony that you so love God and his word and his church. Addict yourself to him. The way the world addicts themselves to whatever they addict themselves to. Give them the testimony. If they were to, if someone was to ask them, where is so-and-so today? Well, it's Sunday morning. I can tell you. I know where he is. They're at church. They never miss out, no matter what. It's no doubt about it where they are. Matthew 13:14 tells us this, and here we are. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You want your neighbors to come to church? Then you make church your addiction. If the doors are open, by all means, you be there. And this one thing, as a boy on a farm, I learned this. If you want the cows to come through the open gate, you can't push them through it. They'll tear the whole fence down. But if you can get one just to go through, the rest will follow. Just go to them. Reach out. Minister to them. Serve with the best of your ability. But remember, You must want them to have this same personal relationship with Christ that you have. So lead by example and show them the love of God and let them see the excitement that you have to serve your personal Savior and friend, Jesus Christ. Brother Tim?